Okay, let's begin. Good evening. Thank you for coming. As you know, Tisha B'Av is coming up. And what I'd like to do tonight is kind of review some of the halachos of Tisha B'Av, some of those halachos that maybe we don't focus on as much as some of the others, and also give an opportunity if anyone has questions to ask, and hopefully I'll know the answers, although there are never any guarantees of that. There are certain dinim of Tisha B'Av that are real halachos. And then there are other dinim on Tisha B'Av that are minhagim. No? Much of what we do on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara tells us in Tainis, is usher in achilan shtir rechitza sichon yosasan atashra shamita. Those are real, real bona fide halachos. Then there are other stuff on Tisha B'Av that we do or don't do, which are not strictly speaking halachos, but they are minhagim. No? An example of a minhag on Tisha B'Av, for example, is the fact that we sit on the floor. No? Where in the Gemara does it say you have to sit on the floor in Tisha B'Av? By Avelos, by Shifa, we sit on the floor, right? But the thing is, in Tisha B'Av, it doesn't say in the Gemara that we have to sit on the floor. It doesn't say that.
Sitting on the floor by
Avelos is a halacha. Then Yeshev La'aretz V'Yidom. The Gemara derives in Daf Chafafim Bayikot that you're supposed to sit on the floor. On Tisha B'Av, it's a minhag. But the one time this minhag is really quoted in the Gemara, interestingly, is not on Tisha B'Av itself. It is by the Suda HaMafsekes before Tisha B'Av. No? The Gemara says that the Suda HaMafsekes Rav, the Amora, used to eat the Suda HaMafsekes on the floor, near the stove, and he would recite Zeh Su'udas Tisha B'Av. He'd dip his bread in some ashes, and he would he'd cry, etc. That's the Suda HaMafsekes. The real halach of sitting on the ground on Tisha B'Av is not on Tisha B'Av itself, it's at the Suda HaMafsekes before Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av itself, there is a minhag to sit on the ground. That's a much later minhag. The minhag probably developed. There's a historian named Yaakov Gartner who notes that the minhag probably developed as follows. There was a group of Karaites who called themselves the Avelei Tzion. And they said, you know, you Orthodox Jews, you don't care enough about the Beis HaMikdash. We Karaites, we really care. And they did a lot of interesting practices about on Tisha B'Av to get people into the mood of Tisha B'Av. Our practices of sitting on the ground on Tisha B'Av itself comes from the Avelei Tzion. Our practice of not wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Right? We don't wear tefillin Tisha B'Av morning. We don't wear a talis Tisha B'Av morning. These practices come from the Avelei Tzion that eventually Chazal decided to accept, the Minhagim took over, but these are not practices that are found in the Gemara. In fact, the Rishonim debate what you do about tefillin on Tisha B'Av. Now, the way of knowing whether something that is done on Tisha B'Av is a minhag or whether it's an actual halacha is, do you do it all day or not? For example, what happens at Chatzos on Tisha B'Av? So Chatzos is like, what do we do at Chatzos on Tisha B'Av? What's the first?
We sit
on the regular chair, first thing. How come I'm allowed to sit on the... I used to be bothered by this kasha as a kid. How come after Chatzos I sit on the regular chair, but I'm still not allowed to learn Torah? Right? Were you ever bothered by that kasha? Like, Torah is so much more important than like not sitting on the chair. The answer is that not learning Torah on Tisha B'Av is a real halacha. But sitting on the ground on Tisha B'Av is not a real halacha. Sitting on the ground on Tisha B'Av is a minhag. And to show that it's a minhag, we do it after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. That's why I sit on the ground, right? To show that not wearing tefillin Tisha B'Av is a minhag, I wear tefillin at mincha, right? I wear my talis at mincha, the minhag. But the real dinim of Tisha B'Av, the Avelos dinim of Tisha B'Av, or the tiniest dinim of Tisha B'Av, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik famously discusses whether Tisha B'Av is primarily a din of tainis, or primarily a din of avelos, but all those real halachos, not eating, not drinking, not learning Torah, not saying she'elas shalom, right? Those are all day. She'elas shalom on Tisha B'Av is apparently more than just a minhag. We basically assume that that is, the fact that we do it all day shows that it's stricter than not sitting on the ground. I think that's what emerges just when we try to put these dinim together. Okay, so this is just the basic introduction. Let's just go through some of these dinim quickly, and then we'll have opportunities if there are questions. The minig is that we sit on the ground. First source. Nago leishev al gabe karka besuda hamafsekes. And you don't have to take off your shoes at suda hamafsekes. Right? The Mishnah Berurah comments that if you are weak at suda hamafsekes, so then you could put a pillow underneath you. You see that? Does everyone have the source sheets? I think we have like one or two left somewhere. Or I have one extra. If you are weak at suda hamafsekes, so then you are allowed to put a pillow underneath you. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Then the Shulchan Aruch comments in terms of sitting on the ground on Tisha B'Av itself. It says very interestingly, Leil Tisha B'Av v'yomo yoshvim beveis kineses la'aretz ad filas mincha. Did you ever pick up on that diuk in Shulchan Aruch? Where do you sit on the ground? It says in Shulchan Aruch on Tisha B'Av. In shul, right? Do you have to sit on the ground at home? Now I'm not telling you not to, right? But Shulchan Aruch technically says that Shulchan Aruch says that you sit on the ground only in shul until mincha. That's what it says. And the Mishnah Berurah comments, that if you are weak, so then you could sit on the bench. The Mishnah Berurah comments, Ayin bachronim demutar lite lahaniach tachtav sak o kar katan. You're always allowed to have a pillow underneath you, but if you're weak, then you sit on the bench. Right, meaning to say, we are more makel on sitting on the ground all day Tisha B'Av than we are at Suda Hamafsekes. At Suda Hamafsekes, if I'm weak, I can put a pillow underneath me. If not, sit on the ground. The real din of sitting on the ground is Suda Hamafsekes. No? But all day of Tisha B'Av, when we sit on the ground, that's more makel. You're always allowed to have a pillow underneath you. And if you're weak, you could even sit on a little bench. Right? That's the halacha over there. Now, this idea, how come Shulchan Aruch says that you sit on the ground in shul? What does it mean that you sit on the ground in shul? So this is a question I'm not 100% sure the answer, but I have the following suggestion. Sitting on the ground, we mentioned, is a carryover from Hilchos Avelos. In Avor Rachmana Letzlan, when you sit shiva, you sit on the ground, technically. The Rambam actually writes that you should sit on the ground. Our minhag is, again, because we assume that today people are weaker, that when someone sits shiva, you have like a little shiva chair, no? That you sit very low. The minhag is within three tefachim of the ground is considered to be on the ground, although the briskers, when Rabbi Ganak was sitting shiva, he sat on the floor itself. Because that's why the Rambam says it, that you should actually sit on the floor. Now, this idea of sitting on the floor, it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos, the Avel doesn't have to sit on the floor. The Avel can stand if he wants. But when there are menachamim, when there are people around, then the Avel should bedavka sit on the floor. That's the way the din is quoted in Hilchos Avelos. In other words, if an Avel wants to stand up, be my guest, no? But when there are menachamim, that's when you sit. So I get the impression that maybe that's the pshat. Maybe the pshat is that in shul, it's considered like we're all avelim, like we're in public, so that's why we have to sit on the ground. At home, we don't have to sit at all. You don't have to sit at all. You could stand up at home. But in shul, it seems like you should bedafka make a point of sitting. Some people, like, especially in our shul, it happens to be a little bit uncomfortable to be on the floor, no? Like, it's, I think in the women's section, it's even worse than the men's section. It's like very cramped. There isn't too much space. But the fact is that in shul, you should make a point of dafka sitting down to demonstrate the avelos aspect of Tisha B'Av. Again, that's the way it seems to me. There is a discussion in Poskim. Let's say you're traveling on Tisha B'Av. you're driving. Most of us don't drive to Shore on Tisha B'Av in Washington Heights. We just walk from any address on Bennett Avenue to the shore. That's like the... But let's say you're driving somewhere. You're allowed to sit, or do you have to try to stand or sit on the... I do not recommend sitting on the floor when you drive. Okay? Given? Right, don't try that move. Are you allowed to sit on a bus on Tisha B'Av? These types of things. So they quote from the Chazon Ish that he was Mekel. The Chazon Ish understood that really not sitting on a chair is because that's additional nochios. That's showing that you're having extra pleasure. And we don't want to show that we have extra pleasure on Tisha B'Av. But if I'm sitting, not in a way that I'm showing extra pleasure, I'm just sitting because I don't have an alternative. Right? When I'm in a car, I'm on the bus, the sitting doesn't show that I have additional pleasure. That's just like, what else am I going to do? So in that situation, the post can assume that you're allowed to sit down when you're on the bus. There is a little bit of a discussion in the Achronim about at what point on Tisha B'Av do you have to start sitting on the ground. Now, we sit for Suda HaMafsekes. Then after Suda HaMafsekes, I usually get up, I brush my teeth or something, I get ready for the fast. Am I allowed to sit down on the chair? Right? Does the issur of sitting on a chair, so to speak, does it begin at Shkia? Does it begin at Seis? When does the issur begin? So it's really not clear. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, Igros Moshe, Chelek Hei, Siman Tes, Os Dalet, that Rav Moshe says that he thinks that it begins from Shkias HaChama. That's what Rav Moshe thinks, although it's not really conclusive, but that's Rav Moshe's approach, that starting Shkia, you should not already sit on chairs. Fine, so that's what we have when it comes to sitting on the ground. Let's move on. Fasting when you're pregnant or when you are ill. The basic halacha is, and people sometimes make mistakes, I've been getting a lot of shilas over the last couple of days about people who are, most of the shilas come from people who are pregnant and they want to know about fasting on Tisha B'Av. Generally speaking, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the answer is that pregnant women fast on Tisha B'Av, right? Mubaros and Meinikos, they fast on Tisha B'Av. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. However, this is true only, of course, if there is no extenuating circumstance. If the pregnancy has something off, right? There's something that's not going well in the pregnancy, there's any concern, so then in that situation you eat on Tisha B'Av. That's the basic halacha. Now, unlike on Yom Kippur, where when we eat in these tiny amounts, like the shacharis every 9 minutes, Tisha B'Av, we go all the way. We just eat as is. It's really, that's the basic halacha. There was an opinion of the Sefer Nezirus Shimshon that Reb Nissen Karelitz Paskins like, and others are into. Many of the sources, by the way, that I'm quoting now, this new edition of the Mishnah Berurah, the Dirshim Mishnah Berurah, are really good. So they have a lot of these sources. I gave the shir a few years ago, and this sefer wasn't out yet, so I think the shir is better now than it was then, because we have more to say. Alternatively, it could be it's worse, because, I don't know, I have more to say. Those are two ways of looking at it. But the fact is that the Sefer Nezirus Shimshon quotes that if a person has to eat on Tisha B'Av, the person should not eat first thing in the morning. The person should delay eating until later on in the day. Not because there's any inyan of tainus l'shaos, not because we're supposed to fast for a few hours on Tisha B'Av, but just because you should be mishtatef in the tzar of the tzibur. Just because Klal Yisrael is suffering, we are going through Tisha B'Av, no one is, you know, no one's eating. So you don't want to feel like, you're not part of the group, so you should fast a little bit. That is what the Sefer Nezirus Shimshon says. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, however, feels that that's really not a requirement. If you have to eat, you eat. How long do you fast? So the joke always is that you fast until breakfast, no? Whenever you eat, it's going to be breakfast, right? That's the basic idea. But the fact is, it seems that there is no inyan whatsoever on Tisha B'Av, both of eating tiny amounts, and there's also no inyan of delaying to eat. If you know that you're going to have to eat on Tisha B'Av, you should delay to eat. Now, this does not mean, though, that you should eat pleasurable foods. It says in Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, that a pregnant woman who is eating on Tisha B'Av, afal pikein, the Mechaber writes in Tavkuf Nundalat Zifhei, ro'ei shelo tochauna lehis'anei b'macho b'mishde ala kidei kiyom havlad. You only eat enough for the baby to live. You don't indulge. You don't eat pleasurable foods necessarily. Eat, right? Pas v'melech tochal. You know, you eat basic foods. Don't make yourself a feast if you have to eat on Tisha B'Av. Again, I think that is what it means to be mishtatef in the avelos of the tzibur, that you are, right, that you're not going to be eating pleasurable foods, but you should, right, but certainly, right, you should not delay eating. If you have to eat on Tisha B'Av, you don't wait until you get sick. The doctor says you have to eat on Tisha B'Av, you eat right away. You don't say, you know what, let me push it another hour, another hour. You eat. That's the basic halacha. Now, this is what Shulchan Aruch seems to say. Look, let's learn together. Tav kuf nun dalet se'if vav. Right? Chaya, kol shloshim yom, that's a woman who had a baby within 30 days. And a chola, shut sarach le'echo, and a sick person who has to eat. Ein sarach omed, ela machilon oso miyad. You don't estimate whether the person, how sick are you, you eat right away. That's what the Mechaber says. The Mechaber says if you're sick, there's no gezeira at all, and you eat. And that's the basic halacha, according to the Mechaber, that on Tisha B'Av you're chola she'ein bo sakana. That means you're sick. No? You're not deathly ill, but you're sick. Still, you eat. Now the Ramah has a chumrah here. The Rama writes, "Mihu nohagin lehis anos kozman she'in lahem tsar gado shahoy lochus l'sakana v'hamik olohefsed." The Mechaber writes that the minhag is that we fast unless there is significant pain, which is somewhat of a chashash of sakana. That's the minhag, right? You hear this minhag of the Rama? The Rama is saying that if you're sick on Tisha B'Av, even though me'ikar hadin you're allowed to eat, but the minhag is that you fast unless you are in serious pain. That was the minhag in Krakow at the time of the Rambam. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that Achshav, look at this Aruch HaShulchan, two sources from now, Chalila lahayoledes lehisanos betisha bav toch lamed, ki adayin chalushahi, vihi mamish kecholo, v'lochein ein lahanichon lehisanos betisha bav. Notice the Rambam is saying that a woman who had a baby within 30 days, even though the Mechaber is right technically, that within 30 days you don't have to fast, but the meaning is that you fast unless there's tzar gadol, unless there's a lot of pain. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that for us, in our countries, chalila for a yoledes to fast within 30 days. So therefore, if anyone had a baby within 30 days, you're off. Right? That's the basic halacha, but it's also relevant for illness. It's not just a woman who had a baby within 30 days. Any ill person, make ikar hadin, right? The chumra of the Ramah, right? The Aruch HaShulchan is saying does not apply, and most poskim follow the Aruch HaShulchan today. Most poskim assume that if you're sick, you break your fast. And his language is striking. Chalila lehisanos, right? Heaven forfend, don't do it. Don't fast. Don't fast at all. The Avni Nezer Netshuva, right, talks about someone that the doctor told him not to fast, and the doctor says, Bekoshi, you could fast until Chatzos. Zok the Avni Nezer, right, you have to not fast at all. There is no inyan of fasting. Rav Moshe Shnerbach interestingly writes in one of his tshuvas that if a person decides to fast when the doctor tells him not to, it's a mitzvah bo b'aveira. Don't do it. If you're sick, you don't fast. That's the basic halacha. Now, yeah, there's a lot more to say, but yeah.
Is there a chiyuv, not only Tisha B'Av, even Yom Kippur, is there a chiyuv to be misyayet, to take advice from a doctor who is Yirei Shamayim?
Again, so one of the issues that comes up with pregnant women especially is they call me and they say, the doctor says I have to eat on Tisha B'Av. So I say, okay, we take that very seriously, but just go back, ask the doctor, is this advice that you give every single woman, or is this something special about me? Right? If there is if the doctors tells everybody that they have to eat, so then unfortunately we have to discount that advice. Because that just means that they're saying fasting isn't so important. That's really what it means. But if the doctor recognizes that fasting is important, but in your case, so I don't know if we need someone who's specifically Yerei Shamayim, but you can't have a doctor who is don't fast.
Right.
There are lots of doctors who are in the don't fast camp, no? Now, one of the issues that comes up on Tisha B'Av, see, Tisha B'Av isn't Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av isn't a Yontif. It's not a Shabbos. So therefore, if I'm a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana, I'm allowed to take medicine, no? Sometimes a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana could eat, but that's if the eating will make me better, right? But medicine, I could for sure take. So I could take pills. And taking pills is not considered breaking my fast. What about if I need to take a pill and I can only take the pill with water? No? Is there anyone like that? So there's certain things that you don't want to take without water because it will make you really sick after. That certainly is true. Those type of antibiotics, again, you have to figure out, do you need them? Sometimes you could take it right before the fast and right after the fast. You can, like, play with the timing a bit. There are certain people who, like, have a gag reaction that they can't take pills without water, right? I think someone raised his hand in the back about that. Now, are you allowed to take a pill with water on Tisha B'Av? So on Yom Kippur, generally speaking, we're machmir, no? Yom Kippur, we assume the Chatzi Shir is also min HaTorah. Even a tiny drop of water on Yom Kippur is not to be done. On Tisha B'Av, it's not so clear. I always thought that you should try to avoid it. And, you know, if you can take pills without water, take pills without water. If you can't, so on Yom Kippur, we tell people, if you can't take a pill without water, you should make your water really bad tasting, like, or use tonic water or something. Tonic water is terrible, no? I don't know, my mother drinks it, but I think it's awful. You know what I'm talking about? Stuff
it's
is really
gin.
What?
It's,
yeah, you may, I mean, it's not bad in a martini, apparently. But not that I would know. But the fact is that this stuff just doesn't... So you should take bad tasting water on Yom Kippur. On Tisha B'Av, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky has a kula that he says that you're allowed to take medicine with water on Tisha B'Av because, says Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, the water is not really considered halachically drinking. You see, the Gemara in Brachos, in the context of whether I recite a bracha of Shahakol, the Gemara talks about something that's called chanakte umtsof. There's a bone that's stuck in my throat. And if I drink water to get that bone out of my throat, so zuck the Gemara, that what I should do is I should drink the water, don't leave the bone in your throat. Drink the water, but don't make a bracha. Why? Because you don't really desire the water. Right? It's just a preventative measure to get that bone out of your throat. Now, says Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, what I consider to be a big chiddush, he thinks that someone who can't swallow pills without water, technically it's like hanakde umso, so it's not really drinking. It should really be mutter me'ikra din on Yom Kippur also, but Yom Kippur we're more nervous. But on Tisha B'Av, we're okay. David?
What if you're thirsty when you take the pill and you're drinking the water to get the pill down, but you happen to be thirsty also?
Right. So if you happen to be thirsty also, so if it's plain... So the Vilna Gaon is quoted there in Brachas, that plain water, even if I'm thirsty also, it's considered chanakte umso, that's okay. But if it's flavored water, don't do it. When I spoke to Rabbi Simon about this today, so Rabbi Simon said that he heard from Rabbi Abadi, who's like his go-to guy, that you shouldn't use cold water because that's like somewhat refreshing. You should use hot water. Right? You're allowed to heat up water in Tisha B'Av also. Right? It's not a... There's no Issur Melacha. On Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to heat up water. Fine. What? So Issur Melacha on Tisha B'Av. You shouldn't go to work on Tisha B'Av. What does that mean? Not going to work on Tisha B'Av, basically, the Mishnah in Pesachim says, Makom Shenahagu to do work, you do work. Makom Shenahagu not to do work, you don't do work. The Poskim say that in all of our countries, it's a Makom Shenahagu Shelo Lasas Melacha. And therefore, I had a few email exchanges with people today. If you can take the day off of Tisha B'Av and you won't lose, take off. First of all, it probably won't be a very productive day at work anyway. Take the day off. If you can take off, you should take the day off, 100%. Right? We consider our areas makom shenagu, shelo la'asos, melacha. But melacha on Tisha B'Av doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to turn on lights. Melacha on Tisha B'Av doesn't mean I can't heat up water. It doesn't mean I can't drive to shul. Right? Melacha means don't do the type of work that you'll be mesiach das from your avelos. There are many halachos on Tisha B'Av that we don't want you to forget that you're in avelos. Right? We're avelim. That's the basic din. So how do I make sure I'm not mesiach das? She'ela shalom might be part of not being mesiach das. It's interesting that some of the dinim in Hilchos Avelos about not being mesiach das don't make it to Tisha B'Av. Right? There's one halacha in Hilchos Avelos that during Shiva you're not supposed to hold a baby on your lap. For love of Rahman's son is saying Shiva, you shouldn't hold babies, right? Babies always could distract you, no? Like you could see cool them, and when you're saying Shiva, you're supposed to be focused on Shiva. You're not supposed to be focused on the little baby. This was very hard, I have to admit. Like when my mother was sitting Shiva, so which one of my kids is a baby? This is very hard. My mother is like, no, you can't take the baby away. I'm like, this was a very tough one. There's certain things, like not wearing jewelry was very hard. Again, not wearing jewelry, Rabbi Willig actually has a piece in his sefer. He doesn't think that's a real halacha in Avelos. But in all the English language Avelos books, it says that a woman doesn't wear jewelry when she says Shiva, correct? On Tisha B'Av, does anyone say there's an issa to wear jewelry?
Well...
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Talk about that Mishnah Berurah in a few minutes. It doesn't say that that you shouldn't wear jewelry on Tisha B'Av. There are certain dinim, which point they're trying to get to is that there are certain halachos of not being mesiach das, not losing your focus on the avelos. Melacha is probably part of that. Don't go to work, because if you go to work, you'll lose focus on your avelos. Let's go on. Quickly, a person who has to eat on Tisha B'Av. So the din is that you bench. The Rama writes that when you bench, you should say Nachim in benching. No? Top of the second page, it says benching, and the Rama writes that you should say Nachim. The Bir HaGra disagrees, and the Gra says that no, there's no aspect of saying Nachim. There's no additions in the benching. We don't do that. That's what the Gra Tainas. Because any day that there's no carbon musaf, so you don't add stuff into benching. That's what the Gra argues. So therefore, we shouldn't say Nachem. Chacham Ovad Yosef has a tshuva. He points out, interestingly, the Ashkenazi practice is that we only say Nachem at Mincha. So this Ramos is very difficult. The Ramos says that when I eat on Tisha B'Av, I wash my hands. I wash Ramot. You know, even though I'm not supposed to wash on Tisha B'Av, but if you have to eat, you wash your hands. Okay? Right? Because that's not Rechitza Shel Tainug. The Isser of washing is only if you're washing to enjoy. Right? If I wash for ritual purposes, right? Even washing Nagel Vassar. Right? Some people have a practice that they wash Nagel Vassar 4 times, others go 3 times. Right? We don't assume that's also to wash 4 times on Tisha B'Av because it's additional Rechitza. No, that's not Rechitza Shel Tainug. That is ritual ablutions, which are okay. I like the word ablutions. I don't know why. It's a cool word. But the fact is, the Gra says that if you bench on Tisha B'Av, you do not say Nachem because it's not a special day. Chacham Ovad Yosef notes that of course we don't say Nachem. We're Ashkenazim. We only say Nachem in Mincha. We don't say Nachem in Shachas and Ma'ariv. If you're a Sephardi, you say Nachem at all the tefillos of Tisha B'Av, but Ashkenazim don't, so of course we shouldn't say Nachem. Rav Soloveitchik used to say from his uncle, Reb Menachem Krakowski, that when it's when the Rama says that you say Nachem in benching, what the Rama means that you begin the fourth bracha instead of Rachem Hashem, you begin it with Nachem. You change the resh to a nun, but no one says that you should add stuff in the benching. Now, what's the story with washing your mouth in the morning on Tisha B'Av? Are you allowed to use mouthwash? Are you allowed to brush your teeth Tisha B'Av in the morning? So some would say it's pikuach nefesh for the people sitting next to you. That's certainly an argument to take seriously. But the basic halacha is Now, on a tainus tzibur, the Mechaber says, it's not a good idea to wash your mouth. Lo kasher lemebad hachi. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if it's makom tsa'ar, if you're in pain, so then you can be matir rechisas peh, b'mayim, b'chol tainus tzibur, but you should bend over so that your face is down so that the water won't go into your throat. And even on Tisha B'Av, you can wash your mouth when there is tsar gadol, when there is significant pain. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. I have no idea of what that means. But you wake up in the morning and you like feel really, really significantly yucky. So then you're allowed to use mouthwash. You're allowed to brush your teeth. It's the same as using mouthwash on Tisha B'Av. It's not called eating, but you should be careful to bend over and not swallow anything. Again, technically it's only permitted by makom tsar gadol, but I don't know how to judge what is called tsar gadol. Fine. I don't think anyone knows how to judge it. That's not just me. Okay, married couples on Tisha B'Av. So there is a halacha that Tisha B'Av is aser in Tashmish Hamita. The Mechaber says that you should not sleep in the same bed as your wife on Tisha B'Av. That probably does not mean that we keep all of the harchakos and hilchos nido. All of the harchakos and hilchos nido, like not passing items, etc., is permitted on Tisha B'Av. Most poskim assume that all we don't do on Tisha B'Av is we don't sleep in the same bed at night and we don't hug and kiss. Right, everything else is permitted, and where more machmir, the Mishnah Berurah says, during the nighttime than we are during the day. Since on Tisha B'Av, unlike on Yom Kippur, people dress up and they look nice, so there's more of a concern that you'll come to Tashmish Hamita. On Tisha B'Av, there's much less of a concern because people look yucky. So therefore, only at night is there an inyan of yeah. Okay, no, continue.
Regarding the washing of the ears and mouth, I'm sort of getting the impression that the concern is that you end up swallowing.
Yeah, shouldn't
make. Something like Listerine, where you're brushing your teeth with the toothpaste. So, presumably, even if you end up swallowing, it's not really more than a
Again, even if you end up swallowing a tiny drop of swallowing, we assume it's not a doraisa, but still we try to avoid swallowing anything. The breath strips are certainly permitted. And if you could brush your teeth in a way to avoid swallowing anything, that's why it says you should bend over. We try to avoid swallowing anything as much as possible. The question is, what happens if you do end up eating on Tisha B'Av? Do you continue to fast or not? Now, I do assume that because I ate, I once was working with somebody and the guy mistakenly took a jelly bean and ate it on the fast day. Does that mean, I think there's a YouTube video about I just broke Shomer or something, that it all goes, right? So is that what goes on a, that's not a halachic statement, but is that what happens on the fast day? So the pashtus is that if you just eat a tiny amount, first of all, it's probably that you didn't halachically break your fast. If you take a morsel by accident, that's not called breaking your fast. On Yom Kippur, there's a famous Chuvas HaRashba where he discusses that the idea of Yom Kippur should be made Erev Ad Erev. It should be 24 consecutive hours of fasting, and any break in the middle messes the whole thing up. But even that Rashba is not accepted, and even that Rashba is only for Yom Kippur. So, there should be no Chatzishir, or Chatzishir is Aser Minat Torah. There might be some Isser D'Rabbanan. Right, so it can't be Aser Minat Torah on Tisha B'Av at all. We try not to have anything on Tisha B'Av. Correct. That's why, right? Again, brushing your teeth on Tisha B'Av morning, I think we should follow the Mishnah Berurah's advice that if it's not Tsar Gadol, you shouldn't. How we define Tsar Gadol, I have no idea. I think though the Listerine breath strips are a great idea, because that is not. There's no concern that you're going to swallow anything. No. Correct. Correct.
So.
But brushing my teeth, there's some water.
But let's say it's just Listerine. Just
Listerine. So you're saying because Listerine isn't really, it's bad tasting, you won't swallow anything. Okay. They quote from Rav Moshe Feinstein that Rav Moshe Feinstein felt that's also because that's the issue of rechitza on Tisha B'Av. That's very difficult because the halacha is that rechitza is permitted lahavir sazuhama. In this case, you're washing in order to remove bad smells. No? So, yeah, that should be permitted. Okay. Absolutely. Ni'ilas ha-sandal. We don't wear shoes on Tisha B'Av. The shoes that we don't wear, obviously, are only leather shoes. When I was a kid in Camp Monk, so they used to tell us to bring our sneakers to Reb David Cohen, and he would paskin if they had leather on them or not. I have no idea why we all fell for this. I think they wanted to educate us to learn how to ask Shilas. I think that was the goal. But some of the stuff was like also very weird, because like the kids' sneakers in those days used to have like a little strap, a little strip of suede in the front. Remember this thing? Like a million years ago, using like a teeny bit of suede. So l'cha'ora, that is absolutely permitted on Tisha B'Av, no? No, the issur is either the sole is leather or the top of the shoe is leather. But just have a tiny bit of leather somewhere on the shoe that doesn't make the entire shoe into a na'al sha'ar. Now, just because it's not a na'al sha'ar, it doesn't mean necessarily that it's mutter, though. The Rambam writes famously in Hukos Yom HaKippurim that the type of shoe that I should wear is where it is koshi ha'aretz magia l'raglav. I should wear the type of shoes that you feel the ground. No? You feel the hardness of the ground. The best thing to wear is probably flip-flops. No? Flip-flops, I think you really feel koshi ha'aretz when you walk in them. At least I do. Right? You really feel the ground. Many poskim, the Mishnah Brura, only follows the Rambam on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there's a possibility that the Chamesha Sinuyim, that Nilas Asandos the Doraisa, so in Yom Kippur we should not wear any shoe that will protect me from Koshi Ha'aretz. But on Tisha B'Av, the Pashtus is, it should be Mutter. That's what I always thought. Rav Nevensal says Fakert. He says he thinks that you should be more Machmir on Tisha B'Av than in Yom Kippur, because the whole idea of Nilas Asandos on Tisha B'Av is to feel the Tzar. So on Tisha B'Av you should have kosher aretz magia l'raglav, but on Yom Kippur it's not necessary. I just always thought the opposite. I thought that on Yom Kippur you should be machmir. There are many people who on Yom Kippur, they won't even wear what we call Yom Kippur sneakers, no? They'll just walk around in their stocking feet. But on Tisha B'Av they'll wear Tisha B'Av shoes. The idea is that on Yom Kippur, because it's a possible d'oraisa, so that's why we are more machmir on Yom Kippur. In terms of wearing shoes, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that a person who is going to work or is walking between the goyim is allowed to wear leather shoes because they'll make fun of you, you know? When Joel Lieberman was running for vice president, now Joel Lieberman like was elevated, he's a professor in YU, but at one time he was a candidate for vice president of the United States, which is slightly less chashuv than being a professor in Yeshiva University, but when Joel Lieberman was running for vice president, so the New York Times had an article that people were questioning him, that they noticed that on Tisha B'Av he was wearing leather shoes. Now, me'ikar hadin, if someone is allowed to go to work on Tisha B'Av and the goyim will laugh at you, you're allowed to wear leather shoes. It says in Shulchan Aruch you should put some sand in your shoes, no? We generally recommend for people who go to work today, that the best thing to do is to get yourself a pair of normal-looking canvas shoes. That's the best thing to do. You're going to walk outside, like people will see you. First of all, today no one really makes fun of you based on your footwear. It's like, it's unheard of. But you can certainly get normal...
There's a lot more bizarre attire today than the type of shoes.
Yeah, 100%. So the fact is, you should get yourself a normal pair of canvas shoes and wear those. If you have to wear leather shoes for whatever the reason, so then the best thing to do is you put sand in them when you walk just to feel, to be mishtatef in the tsar, and you should take them off when you're sitting at your desk. Right? You shouldn't wear leather. One year, actually, I was walking to shul, Tisha B'Av at night, after my Sudam Afsekis, it was already again, close to Ma'ariv, I guess one of my kids was acting up or something, I was late, and I forgot to take off my leather shoes. So, this has happened to people, right? Not just the rabbi, it's happened to other people. So what I did in that case is I wore my leather shoes to shul, and then I took them off when I get to shul. Then the question is, what do I do after davening? Do I wear my leather shoes back? So I thought in that situation, to walk home up the hill without leather shoes on Tisha B'Av, first of all, I'd probably rip my feet open. Second of all, that situation, people might actually laugh at you. How come you're walking in stocking feet and in socks? So I thought that's the case. maybe where you're allowed to wear leather shoes, so you put some sand in the shoes and make them uncomfortable, or some nachmanim say that you switch your right foot for your left shoe. My son always does that, my like 2.5-year-old. He's like more comfortable that way. I don't get it. But the fact is that if you switch your shoes, that also would be permitted. But again, short of that, I think you should not wear leather shoes on Tisha B'Av. If you're absent-minded like me, so sometimes these things can come up. Okay. The last issue that I have on the sheets is the din of She'ela Shalom. She'ela Shalom is that you don't give greetings to your friends on Tisha B'Av. Ain She'ela Shalom l'chaveiro b'Tisha B'Av, no? The Rambam says that no She'ela Shalom to a chaver. Chaver means a Talmud Chacham. Sounds like to someone else you can. But Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't say to your friend Shalom on Tisha B'Av. Hedyotos, who don't know, and they give you Shalom, so you answer b'Safa Rafa b'Kovid Rosh. I happen to find that this is one of the most powerful halachos of Tisha B'Av. Like, you're walking outside and someone says good morning, hello, and like, we all want to be cordial and nice, and, you know, we don't answer normally. We say hello, right? You kind of, in a low voice, you mumble, not to be impolite, but not to really greet. That actually accomplishes a great deal. It accomplishes the fact that I feel that I'm not connected to people. The whole idea of Avelos is Eicha Yashav Adad. There's an idea of being alone. She'ela Shalom creates a certain group, right? We connect with people. That's what you're not supposed to do on Tisha B'Av. You're not supposed to be connected. You're supposed to be alone. That's one of the reasons for the Isser of She'ela Shalom. You're not supposed to take walks on Tisha B'Av. Right? You're not supposed to just spend leisure time. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchos Avelos that there's an Isser to read newspapers when you're in Avel. He says if Talmud Torah is Aser, because we don't want you to get your mind off of the Avelos, or because Talmud Torah gives you pleasure. So reading newspapers, I think there are many people who get more pleasure from reading the newspaper. But not every day is like that. And even if you don't enjoy the particular news itself, but it certainly is distracting you from your avelos. But again, if you're reading about a war, point well taken. Right. You're reading about war, but again, in Yirtzeh Hashem, hopefully, you know, the ceasefire will hold and somehow they'll be able to destroy all the tunnels even with a ceasefire. But the fact is, I don't know if you're allowed to pray for miracles. Okay, the fact is that there's an Isser of She'ela Shalom. The Mishnah Berurah, when he quotes Isser She'ela Shalom, says he shouldn't say good morning. Now, the Ramah, however, writes in Hilchos Avelos that the Shalom that we have today is not the same Shalom that they used to have. And the Shalom that they used to have, I imagine, was like what the Japanese do. You say Shalom Aleichem, you bow down, right? And you're saying God's name. Shalom is God's name. You just say good morning, according to the Ramah. It's not a problem. That's what the Sefer Laket Yosher has. Sefer Laket Yosher writes, Masha Omer Echel Chaver B'Lo Tisha B'Av, Gute Nacht, is not called She'ela Shalom. Right? In other words, is there She'ela Shalom? First of all, She'ela Shalom is probably more a question as to how are you doing. If I just, right, when I say good night, I'm acknowledging that you're alive. I'm not really saying anything. The question about saying hello and how you greet people. Again, the Mishnah Berurah says not to. It says don't say good morning, don't say hello. How do you answer the phone on Tisha B'Av? So many people just pick up the phone and say, yes. Right? It's a little bit unusual. I think technically saying hello is probably mutter. Again, but the idea that not saying real She'ela Shalom conveys, I think, is an important idea in terms of showing that I'm not connected to others. The whole idea, or one of the major ideas of Tisha B'Av, is that we are not complete as people, and we're not connected to others, and therefore we don't have She'ela Shalom. So these are some of the points I wanted to make. There's some time if anyone has questions. either about this or about anything else, we can discuss. Yeah.
Deodorant
on Tisha B'Av. Yes, so Reb Shimon Eider's English language Hilchos Tisha B'Av book distinguishes between roll-ons and sprays. I thought everything is mutter. It's all a havir sazuhama, right? Now, sicha that is la havir sazuma, like rechitza la havir sazuma, should also be mutter me'ikar din. That's probably a machlokes harishonim, if you get underneath the hood, but me'ikar din, it should be that all deodorant is okay. Yeah. Not a problem. Yeah.
I think it's especially to Jews or to non-Jews also.
So it says even if a guy greets you, you should answer in a lower voice. The Isser applies even to Goyim. There are two din of She'ela Shalom in Hochus Avelos. There's the fact that you shouldn't wish the Avel Shalom because the Avel himself is not B'Shalom, the Avel herself is not B'Shalom. And also the Avel should not give Shalom to anyone else because if I'm not B'Shalom, I can't offer Shalom. On Tisha B'Av, we're not B'Shalom. We are not complete, so I can't offer Shalom to anyone. Again, saying hello isn't really Shalom, but the idea of trying to... People at work should recognize that it's a different sort of day, that you're acting differently, that there's something, you know, there's something weird going on. I think that's appropriate, you know, if you have to go to work, but still, yeah.
Is there any allowance for taking like a caffeine pill?
Why not? Mm-hmm. Again, I think so. Pills are not food, right? So if a person wants to take a caffeine pill because you forgot to stop drinking coffee for the last couple of days, and it, I think that's permitted. I think that's permitted. It happens that it will probably keep you up, and if you want to get a good nap, so it's not a good idea to take a caffeine pill, but yeah, it's fine. Yeah, Akiva? So when we wash Negevasser, we don't wash the entire hand on Tisha B'Av. We wash the part that's required me'ikar hadin. There's a machlokes haposkim about whether you have to wash till the wrist or whether you wash till the knuckles. We me'ikar hadin is only till the knuckles, so that's what we do on Tisha B'Av. When the Kohen duchens, let's say, it's a whole discussion whether you duchen in Eretz Yisrael on Tisha B'Av. That's a big discussion. Dago Mervava. But when you duchen on Yom Kippur, so then we do wash all the way till the wrist, because that the ikar hadin of netila is till the wrist, right? This is the part of Maseches Chulin that everyone skips. There's a few blot in the middle of the Basar B'Cholov stuff about netilas yadayim that you just ignore. So that's what's discussed over there. It's Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam actually holds that you have to wash netilas yadayim for duchening until what's this called? The elbow, right? Yeah. It sounds much better in Yiddish. So, yeah.
Is the washing before duchening, is that a din or a minhag?
The washing before duchening is me'ikar hadin.
Yeah,
I mean, it's modeled after the Kohanim by the Kiyar. That's me'ikar hadin. Not only is it me'ikar hadin, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchos Duchening that a Kohen has to be oker raglov by Ritzei in order to duchen. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins that the Kohen is oker raglov to go to the sink, not to go up to the podium, that's also called Oker Raglov, because the washing is Me'ikar Hadin, yeah. What else?
Suda Mafsekis itself?
Suda Mafsekis, yeah. So Suda Mafsekis is very important. The amazing thing about Tisha B'Av is that the anticipation of the event is worse than the event itself, no? Once Chatzos comes, and once the Beis HaMikdash begins to burn at Chatzos, and then our Avelos relaxes. The Avelos is most intense before it begins. Suda Mafsekis in some ways is like the most intense Avelos. That's the time that Me'ikar Hadin, you have to sit on the floor. Suda Mafsekis, you can't be with other people. There's an Isser to have Zimun at Suda Mafsekis, no? Suda Mafsekis, you have to be on your own. It's very hard. We are social beings. It's very hard for us to break away. The Isser to each Nei Tavshilin at Suda Mafsekis and all of the details are quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Tav Kuf Nun Gimel in terms of what we're allowed to eat, what we're not allowed to eat. But the fact is, Suda Mafsekis, Suda Mafsekis in some ways is the most intense Avelos of Tisha B'Av. That's the meal of Tisha B'Av. Many explain that if Tisha B'Av is a Yontiv, so there's a Sudas Yontiv, that's Suda Mafsekis, Erev Tisha B'Av. Karalai Moeds. There's a Yontiv element, and we eat this meal, obviously, before, just like the meal in Erev Yom Kippur is the Suda of Yom Kippur, the meal Erev Tisha B'Av could be the Suda of Tisha B'Av. So that's also an important thing. Oh, one other thing that we should mention that we didn't talk about this week, when you make Havdalah, Motzei Shabbos, what do you do about drinking the wine? So if you have a kid, you give the wine to the kid. If you don't have a kid, you drink it yourself. Aruch HaShulchan has the practice that you make Havdalah on beer. Tonight I went shopping with my daughter, with my 10-year-old, so I'm going to buy beer. So she asks, how can you buy beer? So I said, well, you know, I think I'm going to make Havdalah, like Motzei Shabbos on beer, because like, I'm not supposed to drink wine. So she's like, why not? It's like we have this whole conversation. So she says, you know, but if I'm allowed to drink it, so maybe just make Havdalah on wine and I'll drink it. So I said, well, you know, you're usually asleep by the time I make Havdalah this time of year. So she says, well, you'll wake me up. So I'm like, okay, if you're willing to let me wake you up, I'm happy, I won't buy the beer. She's like a teetotaler, you know, she's like Peshitta, she doesn't want any beer in the house, yeah.
The Indian of giving the wine to a cotton, I guess that's only a male cotton.
No.
Because there you have already Kinoch or Abdullah, the tribal women are Mechuyev.
Again, women are Mechuyev and Havdalah also. There is a Magen Mishnah that's like an obscure Shita that women aren't Chayavos in Havdalah. That Havdalah is called like, we paskin that for every aspect of Shabbos, men and women are exactly the same. Women are Chayavos in Shalosh Shodes. We also paskin that women are Chayavos in aspects of Motzei Shabbos. Women are Chayavos in Malava Malka. Malava Malka is one of the forgotten mitzvahs in Judaism. But the Prima Gun discusses it in Simin Shin. We paskin women are Chayavos in Malava Malka also. Right? We don't paskin like that Magen Mishnah. It's a nice day, it's interesting for a Shear, but Me'ikar, then we don't pass it to Magen Mishnah. We have the women of Hayavos
so
and Havdalah.
Don't see a man Havdalah according to most Jesus.
So again, most women try to be Yotzei Havdalah from a man. I remember as a kid, my father used to travel a lot, and like the hardest thing was like to go out Motzei Shabbos to the neighbor to hear Havdalah, and Tari's Bar Mitzvah, I remember, it was like such a schlep or something, to like, go across the street. So it was like, yeah, make Havdalah yourself, Mal. Like, what's it? I don't know why I was like so into this as a kid. But the meaning is that women don't make Havdalah. It has nothing to do with growing a beard. Absolutely nothing.
So you can give the wine to a young girl?
Yeah. That's what I plan on doing. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you don't have a kid to give the grape wine and grape juice to, then...
Something that's alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic, like what? Orange juice. I mean, again, we paskin that you're allowed to make Havdalah on Chamar Medina even if there's wine in the country. I think orange juice, for good orange juice, is Chamar Medina for us. We would soda with Moshe Feinstein paskins, it's not Chamar Medina, it's just flavored water. But you can make Havdalah on orange juice, yeah.
Preferable to
wine? So, I don't know. The Aruch HaShulchan says, like, make Havdalah on beer on Chamar Medina. The Aruch HaShulchan is, like, a lone voice in that area. Most other poskim say you just make Havdalah on the wine and you drink it yourself if you don't have a kid.
So what should I do?
Well, pick it. Which, I mean, they're both good options. They're both good options. Okay. Listen, Emir Tzashim, we should, it's not even guaranteed that we'll have Tisha B'Av this year, but certainly Tisha B'Av is not a yontif that we enjoy. I have a hard time with Tisha B'Av. I have a hard time getting into it. I don't have a hard time being sad in general. I think naturally sadness comes pretty easily if we think about it. But being sad for the right reasons is very difficult. To be sad because there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash, happens that the events of the last couple of weeks, I think, make it a little bit easier. You know, it's for worse, it's not for better, but at the same time, you know, just focusing on some of the things that are going on and focusing on, you know, Eretz Yisrael's Nikna B'Yisurin is real. And I think that's something that hopefully, you know, we should have the Tisha B'Av become a yontiv in the future, and we should not have to go through these dinim again. Thank you.
All right.